Very God turned to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 12 February 2023. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, the 84th lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta, last chapter, chapter 10, the final instruction. We are at page 29. Okay, as usual, we will compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bensi se jia moni fo. Namo bensi se jia moni fo. Namo bensi se jia moni fo. Namo guan si in pusa. Namo guan si in pusa. Namo guan si in pusa. Namo amitofo. Namo amitofo. Namo Amitofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swagato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujeme. Dhammang Pujeme. Sanghang Pujeme. Invocation to the Devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta cakkhawaleesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasu sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Iti beso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhammasarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pajyatang veditato vinohiti subhatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakkasanggo Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakkasanggo Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakkasanggo Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakkasanggo Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu We are at page 29. We are sharing from this book, the 84th lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta. So we stop at this point actually. So when you are able to do this, maintain it. So here we need to refer to the previous section, one paragraph down. Down a bit more. Okay. So I read to you the previous section. I explain how the cultivation is to be done and how you have to develop this understanding. Then after that, you have to maintain the understanding to live life. Then that is how you actually able to develop the Yoniso Manasikara or the wisdom to truly live life, then you can actually stabilize your understanding and become different. Enlightenment, awakening will follow. I said, you have to follow what the Buddha had taught us through learning to see things as they are with wisdom. So if I can see things as they are, it means I can understand nature, nature's truth. So nature is such, If conditions are like that, things will be like that. If I can accept the reality of the moment through wisdom, then I am always at peace. Human being is part of nature, and we are just the way we are. When we are deluded, we will do deluded things. That's why selfish and greedy people, they will do selfish and greedy things. Violent people will do violent things. So when I can accept people for what they are, and the world is the world, then there is right view. That is wisdom. For people are just the way they are. Things are just the way they are. The world is the world. It can't be otherwise, like what the Buddha said. So condition like that, things will just be like that. So initially, I come to this understanding that I just accept. The moment I accept what happened, I don't react. I don't create duality. I don't stir my mind. I don't go and argue with people trying to be right or wrong, whether it's good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant. That's how the mind can cease and return to its original state of silence. Well, when the mind does not stir and react to some experience based on delusion, then it will settle down, and the original state of mind before the stirring, which is the stillness, the tranquility, the silence, will return. And when this wisdom stabilizes, means after observing many times, understanding their universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, empty nature, and non-self nature, then we understand all phenomena exhibit the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then the words of the Buddha, sabbe sankara anicchang, become clear. All of sankara, your mental thinking, activity, expression, they are impermanent. Then sabbe sankara dukkang, if you attach, cling, and give meaning, one thing's your way, you suffer. That is the second universal characteristic. And because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why you will come to know it is anatta. Anatta means not a permanent and unchanging entity. As such, it is non-self, not me, not I. You cannot do anything to it. Well, that one is part of nature. It will go the way of nature. It's dependent originating condition. Dependent originating condition arising. And it's a causal phenomena. And because of that, you will start to understand the anatta nature. Not only non-self. Because it has all these three characteristics, means existence or life is not what you think. Not real in the sense that there is no reality behind. But there is such thing as life. But it is empty. Your empty nature or existence means although existence exists, but it's not what you think. Because it's non-self, he know you, he know me. There is no more sakrality. And things just follow nature's law. They operate within the conditioned world. So when you understand all this, everything falls into place. Then you won't have a problem. So with this understanding, I will continue. And when this wisdom stabilizes, at every moment of sense experience, that's how you transform. This initial wisdom or yoniso manasikara will be there because you have contemplated, reflected, you have developed the mindfulness, the observation, and you have understood the universal characteristic and awakened to them. And when it is there, that yoniso manasikara, your feeling that arise will remain as pure feeling, where it's not like before anymore. It will not stir or react deludedly. It will not create duality because that wisdom, Dhamma, understanding will prompt you. That's why Yonisomanasikara is when you have, you have. When you don't have, you don't have. That's it. You must develop the first, second turning wisdom, and if possible, including the third turning wisdom, to stabilize the Dhamma understanding. Then it will stay in your nature, your heart. It's not in the memory, it's not knowledge. It's an understanding. And this understanding will spring forth at the moment of sense experience when you live life. That's why that will transform you. And you will not do the foolish thing anymore, deluded thing anymore. So that's how one awakens and become transformed. And I mentioned some time ago, I think Sister Ingby Adeline asked the question regarding duality before. Do you all remember? Then recently, I think Sister Grace also asked. Then I explained it in the other classes. Then I explained to them, all these are the same teaching. This is how you can break free from duality. When you have wisdom, you can be at peace. You does not stir your mind. So duality cannot arise. That's how you break free. Then we continue. So when you are able to do this, you must maintain that cultivation, that understanding. And finally, you must trust your nature. Trust your nature means what? We got two nature. One is the karmic nature. The other one is spiritual nature. When you trust your nature, it means without thought, interfering, the nature goes in and develops the meditation by itself. This is after you have developed the silent mind and the stability of it, then the understanding of the true mind. Because when it's stabilized, you will understand what the true mind is. And when you realize it, you just relax and silence everything and trust your nature to do it for you. Trust your nature to do means do not use thought anymore. Just silent, relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it, and trust. As if you are dead, like the whole physical body is dead. Dead means you cannot respond. Itchy sensation also cannot scratch because you are like dead. So if the tactile consciousness arises, let it arise. That is what patient endurance with wisdom is all about. You start to see how it stimulates you, stir you, make you reactive, and how it triggers you to have the intention to scratch and to arise sankhara or thinking activity. But when you train the mind to be in a state of silence with inner relaxed awareness, the sankhara will slow down and cease until the mind becomes very quiet and still. When this stillness becomes more stable, then suddenly all your energy, the yin and yang energy, will melt through the gateway. That's how the internal transformation can happen. And you will realize the true mind very clearly. Then you will know what this thing is. And the form and mind will understand because it's connected to it. Also because by then the wisdom is connected to the form and mind. So this is how you develop the sudden teaching that take you to the true mind without thought and sudden enlightenment and the condition to awaken. Okay, then we finalize the sharing by rejoicing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And because this is Queening's final summary, you must make sure you understand it. You follow his teaching very fast. You can become awakened and transformed. You will realize your true mind, your true nature, and that is the cause for Buddhahood. Then everything else will fall into place, will follow. Okay? Then we continue. Xuanhua's poem. This one is by Xuanhua. Of the 10,000 evil, licentiousness is the worst. What is licentiousness? It is sexual misconduct. That is the worst. Do not do that. Do not walk down this road of death. Do not walk this road. Do not do evil. So this is Xuan Hua's explanation. Eh? Do not walk this road. This is the dead end road. Si lu yi tiao, in Mandarin. It means the heedless are as if dead. That's why that precept, sexual misconduct, you should hold. Eh? Otherwise, you can cause suffering to fellow living beings and it will bring about great consequences. Yeah. And most of this activity, if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you will tend to develop the craving and desire to have them. And all this can lead to coming consequences. Then Xuan Hua said, still, cut off sight and sound. This state is peaceful, comfortable, and happy. Still, quiet, you cut off sight and sound by not producing deviant thought at the gates of the sixth sense organ. So I explain in bracket. This is Dhamma Nupassana. When you are cultivating mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, you do this. When they use the word cut off sight and sound, it is not that accurate because you don't cut, it sees true wisdom when you understand. That's why you have to develop the stillness of mind through an understanding. Then you will come to a point where your free mind can be still and you will finally come to understand. Think also like that, don't think also like that. So why do you want to think? That's why with wisdom, the mundane mind, stirring of mind cannot arise. Sorry, I read again. That's why with wisdom, the mundane stirring of mind cannot arise. This means you don't have to cut anything because that cutting is an illusion created by the thought. Even in the Theravada tradition, I think they always say, cut a feeling, then craving can arise. So here, when they say cut off deviant sight and sound, it means cut off the wrong thought, born of seeing consciousness and hearing consciousness. This cultivation relates to the four right effort as stated in the Noble Eightfold Path. And it still will not the penetrative wisdom at all, as yet. It is all right to have proper or right thought, but not to cut off deviant sight and sound. For example, if people are speaking improperly, cut off may mean ask him not to speak or don't listen to what he say. You must not behave like Ananda, because the Buddha reprimanded him. Someone from another school, another teacher, came and asked Ananda. He said his teacher taught him, see no evil, hear no evil, think no evil, then you are peaceful. This advice seems logical, right? So Ananda thought it was very good. But when the Buddha immediately reprimanded Ananda by telling him, when did I teach you this? The Buddha said to Ananda, what I have taught you is you must see and yet you are not affected. You must hear and yet you are not affected. You must arise the thought and yet you are not deluded by it. This is the wisdom way. Otherwise, you are suppressing your desire through not wanting to see, not wanting to hear, and not wanting to think. You are just surprising them and you are not cultivating. That's why you cannot do that. So regarding this part, you must not follow what Xuanhua said, cut off deviant sight and sound. For example, if people are speaking improperly, don't listen. So that is via suppression. That is not the wisdom way. So a lot of Dhamma that has been taught even in the Theravada tradition, you have the understanding, you will know they are all based on thought-based logic, which are not the truth. And most often, you hear in the Theravada tradition, where they knew within the Paticca-samuppada, the dwelling, they always have this avijja-paccaya-sankhara, and sankhara-paccaya-vijñānam, vijñānam-paccaya-nama-rūpam, then namarupam paccaya salayatana, the sense basis. Then salayatana paccaya pasat, contact. Then pasat paccaya vedana. So upon contact, feeling arise. Then feeling, which is vedana, paccaya tanha. Feeling, condition, craving. You say craving is a cause of suffering. Craving is a culprit. So they want to teach you how to cut a feeling. He said, when you feel something, don't try to like let it arise, the pleasant or the unpleasant feeling or the neutral feeling. Then there is no craving. You go and try. It's completely not possible. Because as long as you don't have the wisdom, the unisop manasikara, that feeling straight away stir and become negative, positive or negative. So feeling, condition, craving is a very fast movement within Paticca-samuppada. Where you lack wisdom, you still have sakkaya-ditti. So it will stir and condition you into negativity. So in order to stop that stream of Paticca-samuppada, you can only do it when you have the wisdom to be at the moment of sense experience, means that contact. Upon contact, consciousness arises. Before you input the content of consciousness based on your views, opinion, conditioning, and memory, your wisdom must surface. Yoniso manasikara. The Dhamma must surface at the moment of sense experience. Then when it surfaces, Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then straight away, you will not react. You will not stir. You can be at peace because that wisdom allows you to accept the reality for what it is. Like just now I explained in the previous paragraph. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. So when you have this wisdom stabilized, it will arise. Then it will stop the craving movement. And when the craving movement stops, that's how it sees. No need to cut. Who cut? The one that don't have wisdom use the thought to cut. Wants to cut a feeling. But how can you cut a feeling when you don't have wisdom? So that is where that thought-based teaching, logical although, sound logical, but impractical, cannot be done. So when you come to cultivation, you must develop stability of mindfulness, awareness, then stabilize the understanding through all the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. First is, of course, the four right effort. The first four right effort is still thought-based. When thought arises, if it's unwholesome, you must be aware that this is a mental hindrance or an evil. So when it arises, the Buddha said you must apply right effort to abandon it. How do you abandon it? The Buddha taught three ways. Actually five ways. So the first two is thought-based, non-meditative. So that one maybe help lay people. He said, Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, so that the negative thought, the wrong thought, will not continue. Yeah. Like when you got anger, hatred, you must think of metta, loving kindness. Then you must think of compassion, love. Then it will subside. But you cannot every time when you live life, when you're about to get angry, you walk to one corner and meditate. Develop the right thought. That is too late. That's why thought-based meditation may not be so practical in that sense. Then the Buddha said you should move on to the second way to overcome unwholesome thought. The second way is better. He said, reflect on the danger of arising that wrong thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It will make you evil. So, when you reflect on the consequence or the danger of arising that wrong thought, like anger, hatred, greediness, selfishness, lust, craving, desire, and delusion, it will trigger the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And this will cause your coming downfall. So the consequence of it is you get into trouble. You entangle yourself. Then your life can never be peaceful. So because of that, you apply the right effort not to allow this wrong thought or evil thought from arising. Means you use your effort not to allow it to arise. So initially, it's still thought-based and there is suppression. You don't want to get angry. You don't want to have craving, desire, lust, possessiveness. Then you don't want to be violent. You don't want to have envy, jealousy, fear, worry. So all this is still thought-based. But the third and the fourth way is the meditative way, the Buddha said. When the wrong thought arises, like your anger, your hatred, your lust, your craving, your selfishness, your desire, your emotional negativity, your fear, your phobia, or whatever, is it? How do we abandon it? The third way is the meditative way. Is it don't do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness, and be with that negative mind state. Stay with it. Then see what happens. When you stay with it, without giving it any more thought energy that is negative and deluded, then you realize that mental state, which is negative, is condition arising based on your wrong view, your delusion. So when you develop awareness, it's a purifying force. It does not create thinking, no duality, nothing. So the awareness neutralizes it, then does not fit it anymore with energy. Like Krishnamurti say, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. So that emotion, which can be fear, anger, lust, or whatever, you stay with it, with awareness, it will dissipate. We have no more condition for it to continue. Like the flower, after it has fully flowered, it will wither off. The very flowering of that thought means the ending of no more energy already, no more negative delusion to feed it already. Then it will subside. That's why you will see how your mundane mind slow down and finally cease. Your anger also save everything. Then you realize, finally, it returned to its original state of tranquility, stillness, no more movement. That is your true mind, like swimming. When you understand that your natural state is buoyancy, means your physical body is lighter than water, then why must you try to float when you are in the pool or in the stream of water, river or whatever? You just let go of the entire body and mind. Don't try to do anything. Then what happened? Of course, initially you sink down, understand? Because the buoyancy force hasn't built up. So when you sink down, the weight of the water displaced by the volume of your body will become the upthrust. So the mass of water displaced become your upthrust. This upthrust will push you up, finally. Then you realize the body naturally surface and float. Like that day, there is this Brother Khan from Klang. He decided to invite me, my wife, Sui Han, and Mi Fong, together with his wife, for a lunch. I think yesterday we had at Go Leaf restaurant, that restaurant that I like to eat when I went to Klang to give talk. So he shared his experience with her. He said, when I start to listen to Brother Teo, he said, I cannot catch the word. I cannot catch the important pointers. Then later on, one day, he said, when he was on a trip with his family, I think they went to a resort where there is a swimming pool, and he liked to swim too. So when he was swimming, he remembered what I said. So this time, instead of struggling to float, because he, like me, in the past, we Kampong style, we swim in the river, and our head always above water. We actually use our ability to move the water with our strong arm to keep us afloat. But the head is always above the water. We don't understand this principle until later when I understand this principle. Then I find it so easy to swim. Then he tried. He confidently let himself sink down. Then the upthrust pushed his body up. Then swimming becomes so simple. He just have to move his arms and leg. Then he moved. And now he's swimming, got no problem. That's why from that, he gained faith in what I said. Then he's trying to go into the awareness space, which is the next stage, not easy. So our mind is the same. Originally, like the body, is buoyancy. Our mind originally is the true mind, the meditative mind. You don't have to do anything. So what happens is, when you don't understand, you worry about it sinking. Sinking means get drowned. That's why that fear forces you to put in effort to keep yourself afloat. Thinking that you must put in effort, strength, to keep yourself afloat. Because you never knew that the body is lighter than water, buoyancy. So no need to do anything. If your natural state of mind is already that meditative mind, which is tranquility and stillness, the silent mind, then why must you stir the mind or allow that emotion to continue to arise the fear? And you try to get rid of it. No need. You just relax, maintain awareness, and let it dissipate. Then you will realize that true mind. That is how you meditate, the third way. So the Buddha gave the analogy of the bullock cart crossing the pond of water. He said, when the bullock cart does not stir, the water is clear. The moment the bullock cart cross, the water becomes murky. You cannot drink, cannot make use of it. So he asked Ananda, what did you learn? He sent Ananda three times to collect the water. The Ananda said, yeah. He said, when I don't stir the water, the block cut doesn't come middle of the night, then the water is clear, drinkable, clarity. He said, what did you learn? Ananda cannot understand, but the Buddha explained to him. He said, when you don't stir, there is clarity, like you don't have problem. You are happy, you are at peace. There is clarity. But the moment there is a situation, your mind stir. Why? Because you don't understand what is going on. That stirring of the mind, that condition your mind into all this, is dependent originating. Because the blocker came and stir, then it arises. No stirring, no condition, nothing happened. Which means that mind state, the anger, the fear, they are not intrinsic within our true mind, true nature. They are dependent originating. Due to our wrong view, delusion, we react, we stir. We act from memory. We don't act from wisdom. So when you see this, the third way becomes the meditative wisdom way. That's why I teach you awareness-based meditation. Silent. Your original mind, before any reaction or stirring, before the delusion set it, to stir it, to actually condition it into negativity, was none of all these things. So all the mind state, the negative tendency that arise, they are dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. You just maintain awareness, it ceases. Maintain awareness, it ceases. That's why in the Dhamma Anupassana, the first category of practice, mindfulness of the five mental hindrance, the Buddha explained, whenever mental hindrance arises, he said, if you maintain awareness, sati, mindful, then it ceases. Then you come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. So the first one is to see how they arise through your ignorance, through your wrong view, through your sense faculty. One of the senses that is there, then it arises. Then when it arises already, the five way to overcome unwholesome thought, you maintain awareness by not doing anything. That is this. So from that, you understand how the arisen mental hindrance, which is sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt, they will cease. When you develop the awareness to witness all this, then what happened? You awaken. You awaken. Like the Buddha said, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. By not doing anything. By maintaining awareness. That's why sati is very powerful. Even in the subsequent Appamada verse, it's mentioned, sati is like a very powerful wisdom energy. Like that fire that actually burn out all the defilement. Very powerful. So when you have that understanding, you will know how to deal with it. But like the thought-based one, the third way, every time you have problem, of course you can cease it because you know how to develop sati and be with it. But you have not developed the wisdom or its origination factor. In the first place, how did the stirring arise? How did the mind create this movement and arise the negative tendency? That's why you have to go to the fourth way. The fourth way, the Buddha said, you must silence your mind, develop awareness, and trace the origination factor. So when you continuously silent, means ever mindful throughout the day, heedful, ever meditate, means constantly meditating, then you will start to see every moment of sense experience before you have the wisdom, the yonisomanasika, the mind will stir. Then you come to understand the origination factor through your wrong view, your wrong perception, your sakkayadity, your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then how can you retrospectively reverse it? The Buddha said, following the wisdom I taught you. Means you have to straighten your views. If your view is wrong, if there is no sakkayadity, means the universal characteristic must be insight into, means it must awaken to the phenomena's universal characteristic of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then you wake up, like what I explained earlier on. Then you see things as they are, without the words, without the concept, without the duality. Then the mind cannot stir. That's how you can retrospectively reverse it through wisdom, nothing else. That's why yonisomanasikara is very powerful. So third and fourth way is the meditative way. That's how you free. Huh? We go back to the notes. So that part I have explained. Huh? So that's why I put in bracket here. This is Shen Hua's explanation. Oh, sorry, before that, there's another part. Huh? Vast, vast, the mind unattached. This mind's capacity extends throughout the universe and fill up heaven and earth. So this is Shen Hua's explanation. It is high, great, vast, broad, limitless, and unbound. And it is not attached anywhere. So this one is the oneness nature. Huh? Without thought, that is the nature. So I put in bracket. This is Shen Hua's explanation. The true understanding is the third hallmark of Master Hui Ning's teaching. Do you know what is the third hallmark of Master Hui Ning's teaching? Yes, the mind must have no dwelling. What is dwelling? Dwelling means it stays somewhere. So when you perceive something, you dwell there. Either seeing consciousness, if you are not with the direct seeing, then you will perceive, you will dwell there. So wherever you place your mind, it will dwell. So the mind that has no dwelling is not easy. The mundane mind must collapse before you can have the ability to have the mind that has no dwelling, means the oneness nature. The three hallmarks of Hui Ning's teaching can be realized. So the three hallmarks of Hui Ning's teaching are to realize the first hallmark is no thought, Wu Nian. That's why no thought. Without thought, you are just aware. You are just that awareness nature. That is your true mind. That is your silent mind. Then the second hallmark of Hui Ning, you must develop the wisdom to penetrate all marks. That's why you will penetrate and see that there is no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of living beings. The last one is no mark of existence, no mark of the Dhamma, everything. Everything else within the conditioned world, they have marks. But the unconditioned, because they are anatta, empty, not a permanent and unchanging entity. That's why that no mark is the understanding that the conditioned world is not the unconditioned. So within the conditioned world, mark exists. But with the unconditioned wisdom, mark got no power over you. Means no security. You have no mark of a self. You know the form and mind is not you. But it is a segmented life that come through the karmic process. A vehicle and tool for you to arise to live life. And that one is subject to karma. So you have a duty towards that karmic nature. That's why you will know what to do. Although it's unreal, no mark of a self, but that form of mind is still connected to your karmic nature. It is subject to karma. That's why it will still serve its purpose within the conditioned world. That's why unless you have the understanding of the conditioned world, Dhamma, and the unconditioned world, Dhamma, you cannot live life. You cannot differentiate between the two types of Dhamma, and you will be confused, thinking that the Buddha contradicts himself. He said, on one side he teaches anatta, non-self, empty. The other side he said, we are all born of our karma in the five daily contemplation, the last one. We are conditioned and supported by our karma. We are heir to our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So all this is contradictory and confusing when you don't understand. But when you understand, the Buddha never contradicts himself. Well, he refers to specific understanding. So this is why his teaching is very amazing. Then after that, of course, the third hallmark is to realize no dwelling. It means no center for the mind to dwell on. It means spacious awareness without a center. The moment the mind creates a center, it will dwell there. Yes, from that atta, you see. Then you perceive. Then you dwell. Then that thing become like created, exists, real. Then There is duality. There is analysis. There is reasoning. There is comparison. So all these are the movement of thought, manifestation of the mundane mind. That's why when you develop the true understanding of the true mind, it will insight into phenomena and understand perfectly the nature within, which is the unconditioned, beyond thought, beyond mind. So when you realize that nature, then these three, the hallmark of winning, no thought leading to no mark, leading to no dwelling, will be completely understood. Okay? So move on. No dwelling means your mind doesn't dwell anywhere. This means there is no center for the mind to dwell. That's why I use the other word. When you are able to have this spacious awareness without a center, this is the true meaning of Vasvas, meaning the oneness nature. Meaning your true mind is one with nature, implying the oneness nature. So when you are silent without a center, it means you are just aware, the awareness nature. That's why we call it the our essence of mind. Yeah, the word is essence of mind. The essence of mind is non-dependent originating one, the true mind. Yeah. Because everything that arises within the conditioned world need condition to arise, isn't it? But the true mind, which is silent, there is no data. Like sound, you need vibration, you need data. Then the eardrum pick up. Then, upon contact, hearing consciousness arise. But who is aware of silence? Who? Your true mind. And that is your essence of mind. That's why the awareness nature is just aware, nothing else. That's why that one can be aware of absence of vibration. No need data one. That one can be aware of the spacious awareness throughout the entire existence. One with nature, oneness. Then you want to know. It can arise the mundane mind. It doesn't want to know, it just stay there without a center. That is what that nature is. And it is not easy to understand this unless you can have that type of cultivation. Okay? So, I read again. I call it spacious awareness without a center, and your mind can only be without dwelling on two occasions. So, you must listen to this. There are two types of non-dwelling awareness. This one is from my own understanding, and I find my own word. There is no book that has written about this yet. Because this is something completely new to the world. Spacious awareness without a center while in a formal meditation. This type is the non-active one. Means you don't come out to live life one. No movement. The other one is specific phenomenal awareness while living life. In the midst of life, you can have this specific phenomenal awareness. Whereas the spacious awareness without a center, you have to be in a formal meditative state. You must be completely still. Yeah. And this type, we call it the active one. The first type is non-active. The second type is called the active. Means active in the midst of life, in daily life. Means it's linked to daily mindfulness. That's why when my daily mindfulness stabilizes, I realize everything I observe and see is a specific phenomenal awareness. My awareness is one with all phenomena. Even the kaya, the movement, is one with it. And that is specific phenomena. That's why most of the time it's aware. It don't think. It doesn't dwell too. It only arises the thought when it need to. When it wants to know things, when it wants to share, when it wants to teach, or it wants to express something. And then it makes use of the pure aggregate to develop the movement. Okay, I'll read on. When you are aware of a specific phenomena, this mind does not dwell. It just flows with that phenomena. Like when you observe the passing car, the awareness and the thing move as one. There is no dwelling anywhere. It's just move. Even hearing also same. Like now it's raining heavily. The hearing consciousness and the awareness as one. It's just specific phenomena awareness. This mind does not dwell. It just flows with it. So when you observe the movement of the trees, the branches, everything, the swelling, or the cloud, the movement within nature, all these are specific phenomena awareness. That's why your mind, which is just aware, can flow with it. With all the movement, all the activity, even smell, taste, tactile, everything. Like the moving car, there I explain again. The awareness of the car's motion move as one together. Do you understand? There is no gap. It's like anapanasati, when you are doing anapanasati, where the breath and the awareness move as one, breathing in. Aware, the whole process, aware, breathing out, aware, no word, nothing, it's just the awareness of the in and out movement. You are just aware. And this awareness is specific phenomenal awareness, which is an active one, where you are able to be in this state in the midst of life. The first one is non-active, it's just aware, finish. Specific phenomenal awareness can live life. Then I ask, do you all have any question? So this one, Vasvas, based on our understanding, is different from what Master Xian Hua's description is. Where his one is more towards the description part. Master Xian Hua's one is based on his own understanding. Then Sister Amy asks a question, I think. Bratio, the active and non-active aspect of awareness. Can Bratio elaborate more on it? Because both are awareness. And for spacious awareness, how come it is non-active, as it is still an awareness, right? Then I reply, I say, very good. It's a very good question. You see, for the first time, there is no movement. Do you understand? There is no movement and you are just aware in a formal meditative state. This one, the second time is active because it is a specific phenomenon and the phenomenon moves. You can follow, like the moving car, the awareness is with it. Just like anapanasati, your breath is in motion. But you are aware of it because it is specific phenomenal awareness. That's it. Your awareness is able to follow this phenomenon. That's why it's active. And with this time, you can live life. That's why throughout the day, my mind is just like that, specific phenomenal awareness. That's why when I sit here, it is specific phenomenal awareness. Because your movement and all those activity, like your blinking of your eyes, the way you turn your head and all those movements, my nature can see. Those are specific phenomenal awareness. Like this motion of the fan, there is no one and the awareness is within. Can you understand? So the second type is active. This is for living life. This is daily mindfulness. And yet, you don't dwell. When you dwell, it means you are lost in thought. Those things that you dwell on when you are preoccupied with your thought process or thinking. Let's say you dwell on the Buddha image. Then you start to proliferate your thought. We are saying, oh, this Buddha image or Kuan Yin image is very nice. It must be very ancient. Then the serene feature, facial expression, etc. It means you are dwelling there and creating those thoughts, even describing it or whatever. Then it be asked again. So the non-active cannot live life. So I reply, I say, you cannot live life because this one is for you to do when you are in the formal meditation. Means you are not engaged fully with the world. When you are in the retreat, you silence everything. Like when you are on that boat in Lungkuling, huh? That time we went to this, I think China trip, huh? Shangri-La, huh? The China trip, spiritual trip. Can you remember? You told me when you silence your mind and maintain awareness, that in that moment, the boat and the waves movement becomes specific phenomenal awareness. But when you silence completely, you are in this spacious awareness state. Then whatever you aware, you can pick it up. Your awareness becomes specific phenomenal awareness again. But when you start to think, your mundane mind has come back or come out of it. When you start to form words and start to explain to people, that is your mundane mind manifesting already. But inside, it is empty. Inside, there is nothing. Because from the nature, all this manifests. So this form and mind is the vehicle and tool for my nature to come and perform the function of this segmented life of mine, which you call Brother Teo. But this is not me. It's only a vehicle and a tool for me to come. And my nature need this vehicle and tool to come to this world and to do whatever it wants to do. So this is the vehicle and tool that I use to manifest, to share the Dhamma, and do whatever it wants to do. This one, the form and mind, need to use thought. It uses thought, but it is not deluded by it. But this one is already with the wisdom connected. This form and mind, when it is enlightened, it is no longer deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness. Because this form and mind is connected to the awakening, it will also have the wisdom connected with it. But because this wisdom is connected, you can say this form and mind or the human being is enlightened. But this one is not you. Do you understand? This form and mind is not you because this is a condition arising, dependent, originating, and impermanent phenomenon. It leads to suffering, empty, not real. This is the complete understanding. So today the sharing is very good, huh? For those during that time, 2018, huh? I think almost 4 years plus, huh? Coming to 5 years. Huh? Today repeated again. Huh? It's very beautiful. This one is the vehicle and tool for this segmented life of my nature to come. So I use it. I will make use of it to share, to teach, to fulfill its vows, to continue with my cultivation and perfection, etc. You have to understand the conditioned world and the laws within the conditioned world. This form of mind is subject to that law because this is not the unconditioned. The realization of the true mind is the unconditioned. That's why within that one, there is none of this. The teaching, human beings, life, etc. Everything are not there. But that is the unconditioned. The moment this form of mind realizes Parinibbana, the wisdom that is connected to it will also cease to be or disappear together with this form of mind. Can you remember why I accepted the Buddha image that Brother Lim of Sumeru Klang offered to me? Because my nature understands that all this wisdom energy that I have shared, that is the energy, the vibration from my nature, they are lost when there is nothing to retain them. When I teach and share, it was there. It then stayed for a while. Only those who can draw will draw some of it. And those not drawn will be gone or lost. That's why I accepted the image, the rupang. Because the image or rupang's crystal can retain those wisdom energies vibration. That's the reason why all the images in my house also have a lot of wisdom energy received from my nature. The one at Sui An's house also the same. Everywhere I go, all those wisdom energy will be shared. Then when we travel, our collective consciousness is also very strong. And when we go and pay our respect and do all this chanting at those way places, this vibration will also go in. That's why all those images that have been there for very long, especially the stupas and the rupang, etc., they will have their vibration. Even the Buddha rupang SSJBA main shrine has a lot of energy inside. And initially, most of it is faith energy with not much wisdom energy. But it is very strong because of the frequent chanting, recitation of vibration, and the meditative concentration energy, etc. It is also because people do meditation there. So it has its vibration inside. Initially, I can feel it has a lot of this very strong faith and thought-based energy. But later on, when my nature and others went there and give some special Dhamma sharing, then it started to become different because the wisdom energy was able to integrate into that Buddha Rupa. They have recently completed the new extension block with a new Rupang installed. Is that also crystal? Ah, marble, then it's good. Don't use fiberglass. They will not retain those vibration and energy. It cannot because it's non-crystal. It doesn't have the type of crystal formation. Then Sister Amy asked, Bhatio, I want to ask, these two types of non-dwelling awareness, are both of them in silent awareness? The answer is yes, because for you to have the first type, you have to be in the state of complete silent with no movement, just aware with the four support. The four support is relax, maintain awareness, for the spacious awareness without a center to arise, and don't even have to stay at the heart. You just maintain awareness, stabilize it, then let go of everything. Then the mind will naturally be in this spacious awareness without a center. If you stay at the heart and trust your nature, it develops the ability to detect the gateway to your nature. For all your external yin-yang energy to melt in and do the internal transformation, then you are cultivating the higher path. But this higher path cultivation is only needed when you decide to go the bodhisattva way. If you are not going the bodhisattva way, then you can just experience the spacious awareness. Especially when you are in a retreat. But because finally most of us took the bodhisattva vows, so you may have to go and do the higher cultivation via trust so that the gateway will be activated or can be located. Then when your gateway is located, you become very different. All your yin-yang energy from outside, external, develop to whatever mindfulness or even qigong or yoga training, etc., they will melt into it and become pure energy. That's why it's not wasted. Then they will transform internally. This is the real opening of the internal chakras, the internal movement, the internal activation, the awakening of the major nerve centers. Nerve centers have two types. Major ones are called chakras, and the minor ones are called nadis. This pure energy will awaken your nadis, and you become very sensitive, super sensitive. But it is because it will steal. Sorry. Oh, okay. Because it will steal your consciousness. Not steal, not jury. STILL, not STEAL. It will steal, make it very steal, your consciousness, and make it very fine. And when this happens, your vibration becomes very fine because of the pure energy. Then not long, your mundane mind will collapse because your mundane mind cannot take that vibration, which is too fine. The mundane mind is too gross to exist on that frequency. That's why it will collapse. Then like a layer of gross consciousness, it will drop off from your forehead. After that, the true nature within will shine forth. Then for the first time in your life, you can suddenly see the whole phenomenal world so differently. Do you know why it's different? Now you are fully aware because there is no more mundane mind to cloud your nature. And there is no more gross sankhara movement, emotion or activity like before. It is as if you don't have a mind. Everything has become so fine, so smooth, like no movement at all. It's like that in your brain. It's like the mind has become so fine, as if there is no mind at all, and everything is so fine, so still. I can still remember that. For a week, about a week, I was so amazed. I said to myself, how come it is like that? I now see the world so differently. Now truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. That's how I came to realize this. Truth, the characteristics of nature is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they will always see. The world is still the world. It has never changed. It was still the same. But now, because there is no more mundane mind to cloud my nature can see things as they are so clearly. That's why after that, my mind becomes so different. No need to practice, no need to wait till the mind still, and no need to cultivate mindfulness after that. Because my mind is already fully aware at all times. It has become a part of my nature. The true mind has shined forth. Then you will understand why Hui Ning is so unique and exceptional. Because he was born without the mundane mind. He was already in the enlightened state when he was born. Ours, we still need to locate the gateway to our nature to cause our mundane mind to collapse later on. That's why I say his nature is fantastic. He can have that type of vows and ability to connect the moment he was born. Naturally, you only connect to your karma, your karmic nature. Sorry, normally, you only connect to your karma, your karmic nature. But he straight away connect to his spiritual nature. That's why he only need truth to awaken it. To awaken to. The moment he heard truth, he awakened. Because his mind was already without dwelling. That's why when he heard the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. He understood straight away. Yeah, his mind never dwells. His mind is either always either in spacious awareness or specific phenomenal awareness. His mind cannot do anything else because he doesn't have a mundane mind. That's why he doesn't understand how mundane people live. He has to learn that later. I think he must have gone through the similar process as when my nature came out to share in the year 2004. At that time, I thought most people are like me. That is, what people need is the Dhamma. I thought after sharing the Dhamma, you all surely can understand and progress. But I realized it was not the case. Even the basic essential Dhamma, living being also cannot understand. So when you share the Dhamma with them, it is of not much use because they cannot follow you. They cannot understand what you are trying to tell them. And all these truths are not easy for living beings or human beings. Unless they have their past cultivation to support them, then they will have the affinity and condition, just like some of you this time, to have the chance to listen to all this teaching and sharing. When I started in the year 2004, in the first few years, I teach this way straight away. If I had taught this way straight away, everybody would have run away. Yet nobody understand what I was trying to share and teach. That's why I had to come back to teach the basic essential Dhamma first. I teach the three turnings, the four noble truth, and I keep on repeating the essential Dhamma, especially in Brother Suyan's house, Thursday classes. In those classes, what did I teach? Yes, the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculty, and later on, I extend it a bit to include the three evil roots, the seven factors of enlightenment, the four foundations of mindfulness, etc. Initially, it was not easy, and I did not teach winnings teaching there. Now, you understand why. Huh? Do you realize that? Only until recently, I started teaching the higher teaching at the Tuesday class and the Sunday class because there were conditions and they wanted those teachings, Mahayana sutras. Thursday class is all meditation and Dhamma sharing, so it's more suitable for beginners and those who want to learn the essential Dhamma, then develop the cultivation accordingly. And it turned out to be beautiful where Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday classes are all different. Last time I used to give weekend Dhamma sharing and Friday night Dhamma talk in Klang Tiratana Center. During that time, when I started the Dhamma, it was different again. Especially at the Klang Old Tiratana Center, somewhere, somehow the Kuan Yin statue there is very beautiful and unique. And every time I go and deliver a Dhamma talk there, a lot of very important essential Dhamma and understanding will unfold. That's why we transcribed a lot of the Dhamma book based on those talks. In fact, all the talks there were beautiful, were very beautiful. Then Sister Amy asked again, Bratio, when you are silent, aware of the breathing, whether in or out, or when you are silent, aware of the heartbeat, are we actually at the active specific phenomenal awareness? So I answered Sister Amy, I have to explain a little bit more. When you are doing anapanasati, don't try to link it to any type of awareness as yet. You just train your anapanasati. Because anapanasati is the first training to develop mindfulness. Mindfulness of the breath, the in and out breath, as an object of meditation. The breath is for you to anchor the mind. And this training is only for people whose spiritual faculties are not stable as yet. That's why they need something to anchor their mind. Then as your mindfulness become more and more stable, this mindfulness become more and more still, more and more quiet, more and more refined. As you develop anapanasati, you will experience a type of calmness or peacefulness called piti. That one is still gross, but initially you feel calm. Because it is not the heedless thinking mind anymore. You are calmer and more peaceful. Then as you continue to relax, maintain awareness, it becomes more refined. Then you experience sukha, blissfulness of mind. It is really blissful. So all this peace, calmness and bliss, if you are not careful, you may attach. Because these are conditioned mind states. Not enlightenment factor except pity. Then if you continue to relax and allow it to become more and more refined until the sukhang also gone. Gone means no more in this blissful state. Whether it is blissful, energy, calmness, energy, or bliss, they are all gone. Then your mind becomes very quiet, very still. That is paucity. Paucity is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Mind in paucity means the mind is very quiet, very still, and very tranquil. This is the silent mind. This is your meditative mind. This is what most people don't understand. When you hit this stage, don't go and do sitting and touching, as what you all have been taught previously by others. Where they say to you, when the breath becomes very subtle, no more breathing, or when your abdominal rising falling is not perceptible, then go and do or not sitting and touching. It's actually your mind entering the more refined state of sati. it become quiet and still. And this is how one will be able to realize the true mind. But they don't understand all this. So what do? They want to meditate. So they go and ask you to do sitting and touching. When you go and do that, you create thought again. When you are already approaching this paucity, you go and make more thought active again. Or your thought active again. This happened because they use the knowledge through following those instructions without understanding. When you're not sitting and touching, you are verbalizing sitting, touching, sitting, touching. Indirectly, you are continuously doing thought-based meditation without understanding what you are doing in the name of meditation. When you are at that stage of subtle breathing, don't do anything. Just relax, aware, and see what happens. Wait until the mind becomes very, very still and very stable. Then from paucity, it develops and accumulates into samadhi. When paucity becomes very stable, your mind enters sati, and you will have samadhi. Samadhi is a collected and unwavering mind. Collected and unwavering means when you come out of it, of the former meditation, you can develop the specific phenomenal awareness because your mind will not waver at the moment of sense experience. Paucity is a silent mind that is aware. And when this is stabilized, it becomes samadhi. With samadhi, you can start to see things as they are, meaning your mind will not stir anymore. Then you will come to realize everything is not what the thought used to tell you. Your mind stirs because of your wrong view. You then input the wrong content of consciousness. That's how you create duality. This is doing what Sensu did, because he attached to the duality of wholesome and unwholesome mind state. So he has to push away the unwholesome thought or dust. And he only wants the wholesome thought. To him, this mind, you have to polish it until it shines, so that no dust can align. How do he polish the mind? He doesn't use the cloth to polish. He maintains an ever mindful state of mind to guard against defilement, which is the wrong understanding. Mindfulness alone is not enough. One needs initial wisdom, unisoka manasikara, to deal with defilement. Only mindful observation without clinging or rejecting can bring about understanding or wisdom via the direct seeing. So when you understand, it's a free mind. A free mind is just aware with understanding. It doesn't need anything else. As long as there is no wrong thought, there will be no stirring of the mind. And when your spiritual faculties are there, the five spiritual faculties, especially Panya, is just aware by itself. What are the five spiritual faculties? They are Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The five spiritual faculties can let you understand spiritual teaching. And you can put them to test. When you have faith, your mind is composed and calm because you don't have doubt. When you have faith in the Buddha and his wonderful teaching, virya, which is a spiritual zeal or tenacity, will arise to drive you to cultivate. That's how you can have diligence. And diligence is not an effort. When you know this, teaching is very important. It will drive you to go all out to cultivate it. So this virya will drive your nature to continue with the development of sati. That's how the third spiritual faculty of sati comes to be. With virya, you will diligently cultivate to develop the silent mind, to be aware, to realize the stage of no thought. Then this sati becomes very stable. When sati is very stable, the silent mind is automatic. So no need to train. Okay, we stop here. Okay, page 41, we stop here. Okay, we will have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. We are off the line. Yeah, okay, slowly, mindfully. come out of meditation. Then we shall continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever Q&A, question and answer that you may have. You can ask me any question relating to the Dhamma or the meditation or how to apply what you have learned, means the application of the Dhamma to help you develop understanding of life, how to overcome whatever life problem that you may be encountering. Via application of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Alicia?
Hey, hi. Good evening, Brother Tu, Mrs. Teo, and all Kalvitas. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a very busy schedule for me this year.
You are traveling.
我从我的 Bangkok trip 开始讲吧.
better. That would be interesting.
Actually, when I was traveling to Bangkok, few days before New Year, right?
Yes.
So, 我是挺累的啦那时候. So when 我 bought 那个 aircraft 的时候, 然后我一坐下去不久，我就已经 like into deep meditation
meditation.
Then kind of like sleep off lor.
Yeah, no problem.
So then after that, this passenger next to me, so she say, excuse me, can I go to the toilet? Because I was sitting at the aisle, right? So okay. So I heard that and then I came out. But then I just look at her, but then my physical, like the senses like not intact and then cannot come back, you know.
Correct,
it's like,
correct. Not functioning.
Not functioning. I was like, how is it? Just about for a while. Then after that, I was like, okay. Then 过了一阵子, 我才可以 like fully function as a human. 这样子.
Normal.
Yeah. Then I never give you a thought, you know, because my the trip is quite busy to Bangkok. It's like 2 days meeting. So then when I came back, I try to recall what happened. So 我回想起当下，如果你是 conscious， 但是你的那些 senses 不能 function 的话，也是好像不是一个，就是 that condition must be， you know， like
对对，那是 awareness already went in deep， then it take a while for it to come back to normal consciousness。 So that phase will happen, but don't worry, after a period, that phase will come to pass, then you become normal again, so don't worry. So this phase that you are going through, when you start to develop this stability of awareness-based meditation, then straight away within a few minutes or sometime within a minute, you can go into the meditative state. Then you can go into the deep state within 10 to 15 minutes. Then when it's so deep that when you're resting your body, then you're silent completely. Your senses like a little bit cut off like that, like not completely functioning outside, where it is like fully within. So when it's fully within, you need stronger what they call external stimulant to actually let it return to a normal state of mind, normal consciousness. So don't worry, just let it be. Then after you respond, then it take you a while to actually do all the movement to come out and let him go out to go to the washroom. Then did the lady that sat next to you say anything to you or not?
No. She was very good, very kind, you know, just patiently wait there. know, because I was like, I looking at her, but then 我好像弹动不得，这样就是 cannot move at all. So I
你的
think
肉
she
体
maybe,
还 not get back to normal consciousness
yeah, but maybe she can feel, you know, I was like, you know, I haven't wake up or something like that. So she was patiently waited. I said, I'm so sorry. But
deep sleep, but actually
yeah.
put sleep is went into the deep awareness
Yeah,
state.
yeah,
But they
yeah.
cannot understand. But I think they are willing to, because like you would say, she's very kind. They are willing to wait for you to respond.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Raju, when I gone through this and then I came back and reflected on it, my understanding is this is part of the way.
Yeah, part of
So yeah,
the
so 我就没有 any doubt about it. So
way.
that's it.
Just let
But
it be.
yeah, just let it be. But then over this period of busy schedule came back and then with Chinese New Year. So when the Chinese New Year approach, I just do like a very simple, you know, just order something and then to send off to my sister-in-law for the Chinese New Year gift, you know. But when the Chinese New Year time, 我的心好像我看到他们 full of joy，但是我 deep inside 哦，好像没有什么表情这样，好像
Again, this phase will come to pass because that wisdom and the understanding is already there. Then initially, like the worldly thing, like not much meaning really. People can get excited, but the understanding inside make you different. It's okay. You will go through this phase. It will come to pass. Then later on, when you blend into the conditioned worlds, living again means through your understanding, you become normal again. They call it the third stage of seeing, Kan San, Yu Si San, and then you become normal again. Then you can adopt back to society, you can adopt back to life and a lot of other things. So now what you have as understanding is your duty. Then you know the busy schedule is because you had to help Freddy in sorting out all those meetings which are useful for your business and all those things. So this is the phase where you can also actually develop understanding. Because when you go through transformation, just like when I went through transformation in 1989, when I was 35 years old, at that time I was so much younger than you. But I was at the peak of my career, pinnacle of my career. I reached the highest position I can go to in my working environment. Then, like what people say, that place is not easy to handle. It's like a madhouse. It's a very big organization. I have almost 1,000 staff under me. And the whole area of coverage was very, very wide. We have one main campus which is about 600-700 acres, and we have branch campus and all things, also quite big piece of land. Then I was in charge of the whole development, maintenance, and even upkeep. So we have to manage everything, and there are a lot of they call activity that we have to repeatedly do throughout the year, especially the maintenance part. Maintenance cover a very wide scope, but then no problem. I was going through the transformation too. Then I was able to handle. Then later on, I decide to come out into the private sector to come into more intense environment to test myself. So you can actually make use of it because you are still working, which is good, and you still have the what they call advantage of age and the healthy body that can still take you around and do all this work. And when you go through them, like when I went into the private sector, I think it was 35. Then I went into the private sector, I actually worked for another 7 years, I think 7 years, 6 to 7 years, I remember. But before that, while I was with that organization in the university, I was there for 7 to 8 years, I think, 7 to 8 years. So I also went through that phase where there's a lot of work and all things until everything falls into place and I become normal again. Like I'm very free again. If I don't have meeting, then I am free. I'm like on my own time and all things. Then everything has been like standardized. I was able to like transform the work schedule and workload into simplified, they call procedures. So we apply actually ISO and all those things. Then of course a little bit of the time IT was not so developed, a bit of technology to actually help us do all this. So we simplify a lot of things and I standardize a lot of the tender process. I have annual contract. I have certain type of work which demands fast action. I have to sort out the good contractors, then get them to agree on certain things. Yeah. And over the years, we evolved more and more procedures that were very useful, very beautiful, very efficient. Then I got more time to do my own thing. Then I only once a while focus on major project that I need to do in-house where we don't hire external consultant where I have the experience and the ability to do. So I was able to do that. Then finally, when I decide to come out to the private sector, that time was really good. That time, I remember I went into the consultant first. Consultant first, 6 or 7 years. Then I joined the private sector public listed company for the last 5 years, total 12 years, I remember. So I retired at the age of 47. So that journey was beautiful. So when I was at the consultant, that's where I was able to put myself to test and find out how the mind actually works when it goes through those phases of transformation. Then I realized the mind within 9 months after I was with the consultant collapsed, the Monday mind, then I become very different. Then everything become very different. Then I can handle a lot of things. I can manage a lot of things. Then my nature returned to normal again. That's why I can rest assure you, tell you, don't have to worry about all this. Like you correctly anticipated, it's part of the way. I also share this. Whatever happened, always remember, this is part of the way. It's for you to see, for you to experience. And different people approach cultivation differently. But the basic essential will never debate. Yeah. You will go through all those phases. That's why as Kayameta progress and go through all those phases, my nature know because all this I have done them long ago. Yeah. Since 1989 until the year 2001 when I retire. Those are the years that I went through when I experienced them. Then now, after I retired until now, I came out to share. Of course, 2001, that time, I didn't officially came out to share. Off and on, people see me, I share. But officially, 2004, when Yun Chan contacted me, invited me to come out. So that time, I came out. So 2004 until now is almost 19 years already. 19 years. So this 19 years of sharing is beautiful because by itself, that sharing also take another dimension, because that sharing let my nature understand that how should I phrase it? That phase of extensive understanding of cultivation of different people with karmic background and karmic condition, how they come, how they receive, and how some, because of karmic obstruction, cannot receive. So I saw all this because without this phase of sharing, I cannot see all this. Then a lot of all this from my past cultivation, I already have the understanding, but I will continue to evolve. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very different. It involves a very extensive exposure to cultivation, and this phase is the best because it's a sasana, and I will meet up with a lot of cultivator who has the past, but they need guidance to link them so that they can connect back to their past cultivation and transform very fast. So now I start to see more and more of this. So all this can give rise to what we call extensive experience of what cultivation is. And these are the phases and movement of the cultivation that normal sainthood way don't do. These are only done by people who took the Bodhisattva vow, then develop the fourth support and continue to transform. So that's why this phase is very beautiful, and for you to have this ability to move, so develop the understanding and the faith, and keep on telling yourself, as long as you are sincere, as long as the faith is there, as long as you diligently continue to strive on with faithfulness to perfect yourself and to be a blessing to all, then everything that arises is definitely part of the way. Because when you have sati and sampajana, it will keep you in check. So the four type of clear comprehension will prevent you from making mistake. So like the first clear comprehension, sincerity of purpose, that one is very powerful because you are being sincere. So the sincerity of purpose states very clearly, you do this awareness-based meditation or follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate the essential Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma, is not for greed, not for selfishness, not to develop psychic ability, become famous, or no. Is to develop wisdom, understanding. Initially, of course, like the sainthood way, is to free yourself, like what you have gone through, the suffering, the 16 years of depression and all things. That's why for you, the moment I spoke the first and second noble truth, you understand. You can pick up very fast and you become very interested. Then you diligently, through faith, sincerity, diligence, you cultivate. That's why you progress. Then you listen to instruction carefully, simple but direct. Then you progress. And once you keep to this sincerity of purpose, you will not touch psychic. You will not touch all the thought-based energy field or those things. You will not move into mind reading function. No, you won't, because the essential Dhamma is very clear. Everything that happened in life, like the Buddha say, the five daily contemplation, the last one, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a role, means our entire life depends on karma. So there is no such thing as you must follow tradition, follow feng shui, follow fortune teller. These are all, by then, no more meaning to the cultivator or the way who understand. Those who are superstitious believe because they fear, they don't understand. But when you understand, you know. Of course, do not get me wrong, like I always explain, feng shui has its own signs. Fortune telling also have its own sign. Even palm reading, everything has its own signs. You don't condemn them. But these are for people who are interested in that and do not know the whole thing, because for them, it's a science. They think they can share this with people and maybe earn some living, make some good money and all that thing. But when you understand the main thing that decides our life is karma. So if you don't take care of karma, whatever feng shui is not going to help you much. Whatever fortune teller tell you is not going to help you much. The key is, did you take care of karma? Did you avoid all evil? Did you cultivate wholesomeness following Dhamma way, the Noble Eightfold Path? Did you develop wisdom to free your mind? So, sati sampajana means clear comprehension. Mindfulness and clear comprehension, a sincerity of purpose will keep you on track. Keep you on track, you won't go wrong with it. Then the second one is domain of meditation. Means anywhere, any place, any time, you can meditate throughout the day. As long as you are heedful, the meditative mind is there. You can develop wisdom, understanding. The first turning, second turning, and third turning. Then the third one is clear comprehension of suitability. Then you will know what is important. The most important time is here and now, because everything is not a reality. The only reality is the here and now. Then you will know how to live life. Means you will know how to be with the moment in specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center, like what we have gone through just now. Then the most important place is the place you are, where this is the place where you can help people, where you can be a blessing to all. You can do a lot of things, sharing or whatever. Then the most important people are the people that is around you or that you know within the vicinity. Or nowadays, it can be related to distant places and people. So these three, suitability of time, place and people, you will have clarity. You will not like normal people who are heedless and deluded. You don't like sit here worry about your children when you are traveling overseas. But what can you do? You are like what happened when Alicia traveled to Bangkok. Whatever happened in KL or Cheras, the house there, she cannot do anything except radiating a good mind state, rising the understanding to make pure wish aspiration and transformer shaman. So those are the few things that you can know. But they will know, you worry also know you, fear also know you, panic also know you, because you are not there. So most important place is the place you are, the here and the now. And the mind is always in the here and the now. It can reflect, it can contemplate, it can do all these things. But clear comprehension of suitability is there. Then the last one is also very important. Clear comprehension of non-delusion. Non-delusion means you will not get trapped in the 10 state of defilements of insight. The Buddha call it the 10 defilements of insight. So these 10 defilements of insight, they are very powerful. They are actually good meditative mind state that allow the meditator who are not developed in their wisdom to attach, to cling. Then when they become attached and cling, they become complacent. And that is where they stagnate and they go wrong. They will go into energy field, they will debate and do all those things, because it involves all the psychic and all those things. So non-delusion is very important. And you will know what is bound and what is non-bound. You will not deviate on. The seven factors of enlightenment, they will arise. Then the seven stages of purification, they will also arise. That's why the cultivation is very, very clear, very comprehensive. Then the 10th step of Abhijja Sutta also very clear. You cannot go wrong, really. Okay, Alicia? Yeah? So hope.
Very clear.
So,
actually, it demands a lot of understanding, actually.
Right.
Because, in way, 当下我以为, with 这个 busy schedule, with 我的 understanding, 我可以 handle. 其实不然, brother,
initially not easy.
Yes. So, 但是虽然我的 mind based, 但是我是 fully aware that 这个是 part of 这个, you know, 我的 cultivation, so that 他给我看到, 你还是要用功。
Okay. And also, we will come to realize we have to go through this phase. So when we are going through this phase, it's like the reality of life existence. When the body is sick, don't allow the mind also to be sick. And so, those that you need to endure, you need to endure. Oh, those that you need to be at peace with, you need to at peace with. Those that you need to avoid, you have to avoid. Like the heedless and all those things. You've got no choice. Because this is Dhamma. And Dhamma is based on understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, causes and conditions behind. That's why Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origination, is very important, very powerful. It clearly explains to us how living beings function. Of course, initially we realize through our inner awareness and external awareness how we function as a human being, how our senses together with our consciousness upon contact trigger off the respective sense door consciousness. So the mundane mind, the sense basis, contact trigger off the respective consciousness. Then how the content of consciousness goes in. Without the Dhamma wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, that can never shine forth or spontaneously arise to prompt you. Then living beings become heedless. They go to memory. They go to their brain. Their memory that has all the accumulation of views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia, and all this rubbish inside there. That's how they act. That's how they get themselves more entangled, and they stir their mind, they react. They become very, very heedless, and they entangle themselves to that extent. They suffer, they become miserable, afflicted. Some even develop insomnia, cannot sleep, then depressive mind state, depression, then become violent. A lot of hatred, envy, jealousy. Then when they cannot understand how their life becomes so bad, when karma hit, they become more and more unhappy. Then they blame, they create more negative thought process, thinking that actually trigger more severe karmic repercussion. And this will prolong the karmic suffering. Because delusion is a very, very dangerous mind state. And delusion comes from ignorant abhijja. So all this, we will start to see, we will start to understand. Then we will have more and more love, more and more compassion. Yeah? Living beings are just the way they are. They cannot understand all this. That's why, because of that, they suffer. They have to go through. So what I want to explain to you is all these phases as we go through is part of life, part of cultivation for us to understand. So that later on when you are stable and you have the condition to share and to teach, you will understand all this process that you have gone through. And through your own direct understanding or experience through your cultivation, you will be able to express it very clearly and very well, because this is what cultivation is all about. But if you are not gone through, you only heard what people share and said, then maybe that is still at the knowledge level. Yeah. But for you, it's beautiful. That's why all this, it will help you part of the way.
Yeah, 感恩 Gratitude is, yeah, 这两个星期他真的是给我看到很清楚的so-called 那个 delusion, so condition 我们 into 很多每个人，就是你周边的人，你看到很多人就是因为好像 mechanically react to,
对
哇 ，no like 哎呀，我就觉得哎呀，我也在 reflect 回我自己，
yeah,
为什么我也是会被他们来牵进去 ，you know？
对，因为这是一个 it's called 习惯啊 ，habitual tendency
啊，对，
那习惯呢 make them mechanical， they just automatic like mechanically they just reflect react。那个习惯呢
？The brother to you. So 我就开始reflect 回去我所经历的，为什么我会 condition myself into this condition？
对。
So after that， 那天我听 brother to you Tuesday 的 sharing 之后，然后 but when brother to you come to 讲到那个 where got mine 那边，然后我就哇 ，it's like something strike me
as strike you，
it's like,
yeah,
it's like。你因为你一直在那个 condition 的
mind
里面，所以你转来转去，你还是走不出来。因为所以我就哇，萨杜，我讲 Tuesday class 的 sharing 是非常好。
So you can understand, you can immediately awaken, like the monk when the lady say where got mind, all of them become arahant. It because that is the mundane mind, and when you are near to that part of the cultivation.You will understand what, where got mind. Then you realize that is the mundane mind, which is not the true mind. That's why cultivator of the way sometimes can be trapped there for very long if they don't have a good guide or a good teacher to explain to them. When they don't hear the true Dhamma, then like you explained, which is very good, where got mind, that one will awaken. That's how powerful the Dhamma is.When you are ready to receive with the understanding, immediately it awakens you. So all these are meant to be. Like yesterday, my wife will know. Because Sui An invited me and my wife to join Brother Gan and wife together.Me, Fong, and Sui An, six of us for lunch. Actually, every year, the clan group will do it. But Brother Gan is a headmaster now for many years. So he only free on Saturday. So only the six of us. And surprisingly, that lunch, we discuss all the Dhamma which is in today's sharing, the 84 lesson. You can ask Sui An and Me, Fong, and Brother Gan, if they listen to this, they will reject.I was explaining this whole thing. And today when I share, I was so surprised. Everything is inside here. How the mundane mind collapse and all those things. And the cultivation process. Everything is described inside here today. Was there. Means meant to be. And Brother Guy was able to share just now. I shared the swimming one. You remember? The natural state of the body is...buoyancy, we are lighter than water. And he really put that understanding to test, you know, when he was at the resort. He went into the swimming pool. Last time he used to swim like a kampong, we call it the kampong salon, head above water, struggling to be afloat. He followed what I said. You know. He had firm understanding that he let the body sink down.Until the up thrust push him out. Then he realized he float now. Then with that, to swim, you just have to move your hand and your leg. And he did it. You know. So now swimming becomes very easy for him. He can do breaststroke, freestyle, or whatever. Your buoyancy is there. It's just like our true mind. We know it's the meditative mind, the silent mind. So why do you want to stir the mind? Why do you want to make the mind think? And do this, do that. That's why don't try to know, don't try to do. We all these are by the thought. You create active thinking. It's just like you're struggling in the water to keep yourself afloat. But not knowing that your natural state is buoyancy. Then like your mundane mind. If you don't think, don't do anything, the natural state returns. With this understanding, you progress. So this is what happened. Start to rain again. Very good, Alicia. Sadhu.
Sadhu, brother Teo, when just now you just sharing, 我听到那个 thunder broom
broom. Oh,
very rejoicing.
Until 我的那个 13 airborne trip, only the lighting and fan don't trip. The 13 airborne trip. Then my wife and Sui got to reset the thing, and because the aircon all cut off, just the fan also, the only one, the power plug to the 13 endpoint on that one also stopped. When you share something that is appropriate, the response is there.
Actually, 自从那天 Tuesday 我听了你的那个 Tuesday 的 sharing 之后，
对，
我 suddenly 好像就是 you know, like 现在我把那个就是我好像 like 又 everything 静下来 ，and then 我好像又抽离那个所谓的那个 phenomena 了，这样子 ，you know, like back to the normal, like you know, actually 就是。Wow, it's like a training for me to see all this.
Correct.
Actually, 所以我很感恩。
了解。
对对，我很感恩。所以，所以 brother, I was thinking, wow, what happened 啊？我的好像 noble eightfold path 好像 collapse 了的。我连讲话都好像没有点。
Stage by stage, different things will arise for you to see, to understand. Then sometimes it comes as a test. The test one is more difficult to pass. But if you are on the right path, you have the faith as part of the way, you will still clear, and you will clear beautifully. The test sometimes it can come, and it can be quite challenging, the test. But no worry, because as cultivator of the way, we will understand and we will realize what is to be realized. Then we will be able to pass all these tests. Then the third phase of Dhamma is the most beautiful. After that is Pativeda. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Then everything becomes very clear to you. Very beautiful. Then Dhamma keep on flowing, appearing, then you live that life, the third phase of Dhamma cultivation, means you realize Pativeda, means you have gone beyond Pariyati, which is learning of the teaching, then right now cultivation, Patipati, you have gone into it quite well, quite deeply. So once you stabilize it, perfect it more, then you get to live the life of an Arya, Pativeda, reap the fruit of your hard work. Then that phase is the most beautiful phase of our life as a cultivator. Yeah, during that phase, you get to witness and experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then life become like different again, very beautiful, meaningful, amazingly rewarding. Then the Bodhisattva way become like no more an issue. It's no longer how long it takes, it's about how wonderful it is because of the understanding. So all this will manifest. 很好, Sadhu.
Can I brother to you?
Yeah.
Actually, the last, I think Tuesday, there's one Tuesday, I think the last Tuesday, 我去你的那边 meditation 的时候, when 我 recite 到普贤菩萨的时候, 哇, it really hit my heart so, it recite 普贤菩萨, 我 like,
yeah,
I'm back, I'm back 感恩 Brother，感
Yeah,
恩我的
sorry.
卡米达的 sharing，也感
Yeah,
恩佛菩萨加持。
对对对。
我会把我所有的一切就是交给佛菩萨，还有就
Yeah,
是
Adieu.
继续的 walk 这个 Bodhisattva way to refine 我的 cultivation。
对。
还有not forgetting welcome Brother Adam to our Kalamita Guru。
Yes,
It was
yes.
an amazing
Thank
journey
you, thank you.
to me.
Yeah,
It was a really amazing journey. It's like a 重生, you know, a reborn for me in this
yeah, 重生, correct.
life. I mean, through
Like,
Brother Gio,
changing
the
mood,
guidance and all the Kalamita sharing, and you know, for I mean, words cannot really finish. I cannot
correct,
the gratitude in my heart. I really
correct.
can't express. But then.
对, yeah.
我真的很希望，大家不要害怕那个这个所谓的 test or whatever 啦，
对
就是
对，
很 sincere 的走下去就对了。
Sadhu，
好，Brother，感恩
对
，Brother，我的 sharing 就到这里，感恩大家，阿弥陀
Sadhu，Sadhu，Let us
佛。
rejoice，呀，阿弥陀佛，Sadhu，Sadhu，Sadhu，Very good，So today sharing，by Alicia lead to a lot of good condition，and a lot of understanding unfolding. And today sharing is exceptional for cultivator of the way. Yeah? You all should listen. Then many Kayamita, like Ingbidewa, they will benefit a lot. Because this sharing today is meant for cultivator of the way most of the time. And also maybe the condition is right for Pratakan, Sui'an, and Mipho, to develop that type of faith and sincerely cultivate diligently. Otherwise, yesterday it cannot be so coincidental. The lunch, the timing was such, and everything we discussed, you can check with them, is what we share today. This is no coincidence, I tell you. It's meant to be. If people don't have the parami, they cannot receive. And Pratakan's wife also said, I think this is the first time she heard me share and listen for so long. We started our journey at about 10:30. I drove to Suyan's place. Then we drove to Klang, the Goldie restaurant. We arrived at about 11:25 or what. Then we had our lunch. Then after that, we discussed a lot of Dhamma. Then about 1 something, Pratakan suggest we go to his house and continue. That's why we went to the house and it end at 4:30. By the time I reach home, it's 5 p.m. So the whole day we were talking about today sharing the topic, the cultivation, the collapse of the mundane mind. Because Mipho was also interested because she heard before but not so clear. That day I share with them one was very clear. But together with today's sharing in the transcript form of this book, the 84th lesson of the Six Patriarchs by Pama Sutta, page 29 onward until 41, it will be a lot more clearer where everything is in the transcript form and they can slowly read through to develop the understanding because their cultivation at the moment, they have not reached that stability of understanding to pick it up so fast. So they need to actually listen to it a few times, then go through the transcript, then develop the understanding, then cultivate. Because that faith will make them different. Then if they cultivate with that awareness-based understanding, they will become very different. Okay, so exactly 2 more minutes to six. I think we will stop here. So let us rejoice one more time before we share merits. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so we will share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumatta devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumodhitwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. Etawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idam meñatidam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñatidam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñatidam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the sharing today, the whole Zoom session. Thank you for your participation, sadhu.